KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have dense fog, 23 degrees here in Atlantic, less than one-quarter mile visibility. There is a dense fog advisory in effect for the entire listing area until 9 o'clock, and that may very well be extended. Otherwise, we look for cloudy skies today and a high of 39. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. The Des Moines Register has obtained new documents showing the for-profit companies running Iowa's Medicaid program are complaining about drastic losses. One company's manager describes the process as a catastrophic experience, according to the newspaper. Governor Terry Branstad, though, is downplaying that report.
Well, we've been working with them in a collaborative basis, and we anticipated that there would be some losses, as they have had in other states. But I've talked with them individually on this. So we feel very confident that we're going to be able to, you know, sustain the savings that we anticipated when we put the budget together.
On April 1st, the 560,000 Iowans who get their health insurance through government-paid Medicaid were shifted into private managed care plans. Three companies are now managing Medicaid patient care in Iowa. In October, the governor authorized paying those companies $33 million more than was outlined in the original contract. According to the Des Moines Register, the companies are saying that's not enough to cover the losses. Branstad says there's no additional money being offered to the companies.
I'm confident that it's going to work out.
His current state budget plan is based on more than $100 million worth of savings from switching to privately managed care for Medicaid patients. A Democrat who's a member of the state Senate says Branstad's team is managing the program in a haphazard way. State Senator Liz Mathis of Cedar Rapids says as a result, the health and safety of one in six Iowans is at risk, and the program must be fixed in 2017. Many ethanol industry officials are concerned that President-elect Donald Trump has selected people who have strong ties to big oil to fill key administration posts. Those include former Texas Governor Rick Perry for Energy Secretary, Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt for EPA Administrator, and ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State. But Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Bob Dineen says he's not overly concerned. He says all that really matters is who is in charge.
While these people may not be strong ethanol advocates themselves, it is not the Scott Pruitt administration. It is not the Rick Perry administration. It's not even the Rex Tillerson administration. It's the Donald J. Trump presidency.
Iowa is the nation's top producer of ethanol. Dineen is confident the Trump administration will be pro-ethanol.
That he wants to see ethanol being used. He sees renewable fuels as a part of our nation's energy future. And so, you know, it's going to be Scott Pruitt's responsibility to implement Donald Trump's agenda.
Earlier this month, Governor Branstad also expressed confidence the new Trump administration will be pro-ethanol. Branstad said while he's concerned about the fact Pruitt is from an oil-producing state, the governor was reassured about the appointment at a meeting with Trump. First thing Trump told me, he says, is don't worry about Pruitt. He's going to be for ethanol. Clean Line Energy Partners is withdrawing its Iowa application to build a power transmission line across part of the state as it awaits resolution of an Illinois court challenge. Officials for the Houston-based Clean Line said their decision was informed by the timing of the Illinois case and a schedule set by the Iowa Utilities Board. Clean Line wants to build a 500-mile line from northwest Iowa across into Illinois, delivering 3,500 megawatts of power to Illinois and states farther east. Illinois regulators approved the project in 2014, but a state appellate court reversed that decision in August, and the Illinois Supreme Court has agreed to review the case. Clean Line said it will decide on renewing its Iowa filing after the Illinois High Court rules. The company building an oil pipeline across four Midwestern states says it's halting land restoration work in Iowa until spring. In a letter to the Iowa Utilities Board, Dakota Access says it had hoped to be finished with land restoration over the completed pipeline in Iowa by December 31st. But a regulatory delay this spring and several incidents of trespassers interfering with construction work prevented it from finishing land restoration, which is 80% done in Iowa. The company says it plans now to complete the remaining restoration work next spring. The board has ordered interested parties to comment on the plan by January 6th. The $3.8 billion pipeline is stalled while the developer and the Army clash in a federal court over permission for the pipeline to cross under the Missouri River in North Dakota. Utility officials who serve small-town Iowa are lobbying legislators to keep money for their towns in any water quality plan that may emerge in 2017.
With all the talk about farmers and drainage districts, lawsuits, and nitrates, it's easy to forget that our state also has a multi-billion-dollar municipal infrastructure problem as well. And right now, that burden is falling squarely on ratepayers and taxpayers in our small rural communities.
That's Tim Whipple, the general counsel for the Iowa Association of Municipal Utilities. The plan to finance water quality project that was approved by House Republicans nearly a year ago included money to help small communities finance required improvements to sewage systems and water treatment plants.
As the legislature moves forward with water quality funding, I hope you will remember that small communities need funding assistance every bit as much as farmers for the costly infrastructure upgrades that they need to remain attractive places to live and work.
Whipple grew up in rural Franklin County. He went to elementary school in Hampton. In addition to lobbying for more state money to city-owned water treatment plants, the Iowa Association of Municipal Utilities has been seeking more options in how cities are allowed to finance wastewater projects. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says the number of hogs and pigs on Iowa farms has reached a new high. As of December 1st, Iowa had 22.4 million hogs and pigs, the largest inventory ever reported. That's up 1% from the previous quarter and 7% higher than the same date a year ago. Iowa is the nation's leading hog producer by far. North Carolina had 9.3 million head, Minnesota was at 8.3 million. And Illinois had 5.1 million as of December 1st. The national inventory was 71.5 million, 4% higher than a year ago. Elsewhere in the news, authorities have released the name of a Bettendorf officer who shot a man who was holding a toy gun in a store. The Iowa DCI on Friday named the officer involved as Lieutenant Kent Kashan, a 22-year veteran of the department. He's on administrative leave while authorities investigate the matter. The shooting happened Monday night when Bettendorf officers were sent to a Home Depot to check on a disturbance. Officers confronted a man with what appeared to be a handgun, but turned out to be a realistic-looking air gun. Keeshan shot the man, identified as Joshua Price of Bettendorf. His injuries were not believed to be life-threatening. Authorities say a Cedar Rapids man has admitted using a child to produce pornography. Federal prosecutors said Friday 23-year-old Michael Boardman pleaded guilty to sexual exploitation of a child and possession of child pornography. Boardman's sentencing date in U.S. District Court in Cedar Rapids hasn't yet been set. Prosecutors say he faces a mandatory minimum sentence of 15 years and a maximum of 50 years. And an Iowa State University researcher is part of a team studying online harassment, something almost half of all American internet users have been subjected to in some form or another. Ray Hunko, an ISU professor of education and human-computer interaction, says the study is in its early stages and they're still working to develop a good definition.
Certainly harassment involves, someone being targeted and nasty things being directed at them.
It can include cyberbullying, racial slurs, and sexually charged comments in multiple venues, from discussion forums and news websites to video games and social media. Also, 140 million of us have been harassed online. There's still much to be learned about the root causes of such harassment, the impact, and how to best intervene and prevent it from happening.
I'm looking at a specific kind of harassment. I'm looking at the resharing of sexually explicit images that are shared in confidence. And I'm just at the beginning stages of looking at some personality factors and some psychological factors that predict harassment.
Sometimes referred to as revenge porn, he's studying how the resharing of such private video or photos can have tremendous personal and social consequences.
First is to, get a sense of how often this occurs. And the different ways in which it occurs, and for instance, whether people reshare these images when they're still in a relationship or after they break up, for instance.
Some people turn to harassment as a weapon as they're more anonymous online and may be more likely to say something using a keyboard they wouldn't say face-to-face. In order to best study the issue, researchers are working to connect with people who have left social media because of harassment. Some schools and news organizations may shut down comment sections or ban access to certain websites due to harassment, which he says may do more harm than good. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.